pleasing to God when children obey their parents. It is well pleasing to God when we strive to be like Jesus. And tonight, it is well pleasing to God when we support worldwide missions, worldwide missions. So I want to emphasize that. Some of you are checking your calendar. It must be February. We're preaching on missions. But every once in a while, we sneak in a message on some of the other 11 months on this great and grand subject. I believe it's an important thing. I believe that it's a mark of a great church. I think it's well-pleased. I know it's well-pleasing to God that we have an active and exciting and growing missions program. The top three outreaches that we give to in both time and treasures here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that produce the most people saved is number one. A lot of times I would say in our ministry, Jerusalem ministries, I'd say it's the bus ministry. But if I was to take all of our ministries, I promise you worldwide missions and the support of worldwide missions brings more souls into the kingdom of heaven that we have a part of than anything that we could do by ourselves in our Jerusalem worldwide missions program. I kept a running tab, and I'm sure that it's not 100% correct. I don't think the missionaries, when they report in their letters, always mention every person that they've seen come to Christ. And so I know that this is a very safe, conservative number, but I just kept a tally. I decided at the beginning of 2019 I would keep a tally and just see, all right, of the missionaries that we're supporting over the course of 1 year, that they at least report to us souls that are saved. It was the 3,144. Now, you know that they're not telling you about everything and about everybody, but I thought, man alive, I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to keep giving to worldwide missions. That's pretty exciting. So the top three outreaches is worldwide missions. I will tell you the second one, and so that you can continue to pray, and also you can understand that your pastor does some things that perhaps you ought to hear about from time to time. But your pastors work both inside the church and outside the church in evangelistic works. Over 300 came to Christ in 2019 for my preaching, both in the pulpit here and out there. So that would be the second outreach that brings the most souls. And the third one would be, I'd like to say our bus ministry, but folks, it's not just the bus ministry. It's our bus ministry / Sunday school / children's church / primary church / VBS, because all of those things work together. You know, if all we have is buses to bring them in and nobody's waiting at the door, then you know what? We're not going to see people saved. It's all of those ministries working together. And over 112 people came to Christ just through those that were brought in on buses and reached through the various teaching and preaching ministries. And I'm not a numbers guy. You know, it's very, very unusual for your pastor to get up here and give you numbers about anything. But I want you to understand, folks, that if I'm going to take a Wednesday night and preach on missions giving, there's a reason. It's worthy of a message. It's worthy of a message. And so anyway, exciting things. God's used the missions program of Blessed Hope Baptist Church over the years. I mean, folks, within just months of the founding of this church took on missionaries. And one of the things my dad taught me and told me, and I believe I've seen it all over the country, you want to see the blessing of God come upon a church, you better have a good, vibrant, wild, worldwide missions program. And I'm going to tell you, the churches that'll do it, it does something to them. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And so what's the word of God say here? Yeah, Paul said this. He said, you know what? The church of Philippi, if there was something they got an A+ in, it was missions giving. And you know what? Isn't it interesting? And maybe I'm getting ahead of my notes a little bit here, but you read the book of Philippians, and you know, this is a rejoicing church and a happy church and a very positive church and a productive church. I think of all the epistles that's been written to any of the churches, they may be the best one. Isn't it? It should not surprise us. They also the giving church, you know, because I believe that a church that has a heart to give is going to fix so many other things in their life. I've taught this through the years, so let me review it. Let me give you several things on missions giving tonight. Number one, missions giving should be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. And I think you ought to have a Bible-based strategy on how you give and what you give. We help you with that. The tithes and offerings, of course, we take up on Sunday morning and Sunday night. The general offering that's taken up, tithes and offerings, of course, those things are commanded by God, and we live in obedience to God when we participate in those things. Wednesday night, I just mentioned that we take our Wednesday night offering, and we do that to feed into our building program because, folks, even though we don't have any designs or plans to build another whole building, we're always upkeeping and maintaining and adding, and even the canopy that we're going to put out here. You know, the reason we were able to do that, I didn't have to come to the pulpit and say, hey, folks, we really need to do this. How are we going to raise $9,000? You know what? Because we just faithfully give to that. You say, preacher, is that a Bible principle? Yeah. Jehoiada, the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it, set it beside the altar on the right side as one that cometh into the house of the Lord. Priests kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Why did they do that? Because they were going to use it for something. They gave the money, being told, into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord. And hey, if we're going to have buildings, let's make sure they're a good testimony. Let's keep them nice. Let's keep them neat. Folks, gentlemen, thank you, and young men, thank you for the work that you do on the lawn care. And I just think, you know what, I'm always looking around, always looking around. Something needs painted, let's get it painted. If something needs repaired, let's get it repaired. I believe we ought to have a good testimony here. Well, we can say that, but those kind of things take money. So we have tithes and offerings, building fund, missions giving. Of course, we see that taught in our text verse here. And then every once in a while, we'll have the occasional church-wide fundraising effort of something big or unusual. For instance, when we built the building out here, sometimes while we're preparing, we're going to go into one of those. I'll just go ahead and tell you, we're going to go into one of those as we're now looking at it, maybe a year from now or so, planting our next church. And I'll tell you a little bit about that at the end of the service. I actually took a trip down to Jasper today and looked around. I'll give you an update at that at the end of the service. So exciting things there. And then there's always going to be those opportunities, those private divine opportunities that God gives you, that he's just going to put a need in front of you. Somebody that you run into, somebody that you know, somebody that needs help in some area. And so in these areas, we ought to be Holy Spirit-led and willing and ready to give. Others' offerings and people that God brings your way, he's going to sometimes just put somebody in your path. And you know what? Open the door in your heart. Say, you need to help that person. And you know what? If the Holy Spirit tells you to do, don't hesitate, just do it. So missions giving should be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. Number two, one of the marks of a God-blessed, biblically strong church is an active worldwide missions program. And I've kind of mentioned this, but let me just say this. The book of Philippians is a book of encouragement. God was obviously blessing this church. This church was a happy church, a productive church, a spiritual church. By the way, we should not be surprised they were also involved in missions giving. And you know what? It's interesting. Let's contrast them to the book that I just finished teaching through on Wednesday nights. Let's look back at the book of 1 Corinthians. The church of Corinth was a selfish, carnal mess. And by the way, it shouldn't surprise us that Paul had to also rebuke them about their lack of generosity to the house of God and consistency when it came to giving. And so one of the marks of a God-blessed, biblically strong church is an active worldwide missions program. Somebody had to move from here, and boy, I don't want that to happen, but if somebody had to move from here and you landed in a different part of the country and God moved you and you said, preacher, I'm going to have to look around and find a church, and what do I look for? One of the first things I'd tell you is you walk in that church and the first thing you do is you look around and you say, I mean, they ought to have it displayed. It ought to be obvious from the minute you take three or four steps in the church building that missions is a big deal in that church. And if it's not, then turn around, walk out, and keep looking. Because I think one of the marks of a great church is a worldwide missions program. All right, number three, missions giving is well-pleasing to God. Now we're getting into the message. Missions giving is well-pleasing to God. And I love what the wording of what the Bible says here. Paul said in verse number 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and am abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, and Chuck and Lori came to our house after the service, and Mom came to our house after the service, and they got there, and I got tied up here for a while, and that's the routine, okay? And so anyway, I got tied up here for a while and finally was able to slip out and head home. And Cheryl had a meal on that had been cooking all morning long. And I opened that front door and I took the first step in. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You smell that fresh baked bread. You smell that roasting potato simmering in the crock pot. I walk in and the first thing I say was, "Oh my goodness, something smells good. Something smells good." That's the same thing God experiences when he sees folks take that missions envelope and put the money in it and keep their pledge and give to worldwide missions. I'm not making it up. That's what the Word of God just said. God loves it. God notices it. It's well-pleasing to God. And the verse before that, verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Folks, all of those 3,144 that I counted, plus probably many more that weren't mentioned, do you realize that if you're faithful in your missions giving, that a portion of those souls go to your account? You're going to be happy. I promise you, you're going to be happy if you get to heaven, and when you get to heaven, if you have faithfully supported worldwide missions, you are going to be glad that you did, because it's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. Now, several things under this matter being well-pleasing to the Lord. God promises to provide the needs of those who give to missions, because right after verse 18, he goes on to say this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And so God promises to provide the needs of those who give to missions. You can't just grab verse number 19 and pull it out of context. You can't decide you're going through a tough time. Well, don't worry about it. We have Philippians 4:19. God gave us a promise. Well, that promise is connected to verse number 18 and verse number 17 in this matter of giving to missions. Paul was a missionary. He was a missionary. And here was a church that didn't forget about the missionary. You know, I want to, again, thank you for your faithfulness to giving, not just your tithes and offering, but your missions giving. Because, folks, listen, I talked to a lot of our missionaries on the foreign field, and more than one expressed concern. "Preacher, listen, we're trusting God." Listen, if they didn't have faith, they wouldn't be where they're at. I promise you. I mean, y'all talk about champions of faith. But you know what they begin to express to me, because they were asking about the churches not meeting and all of that. And they've heard, you know, preachers talk about offerings being down. And here they are. They are dependent. They are dependent on getting that support from our churches. And I thought to myself, praise the Lord. I mean, I don't know, because I didn't keep my hand on the finances, obviously, as I was when I was an assistant pastor. But I know this. I want to thank God and thank all of you that not a missionary's ever missed a monthly commitment under my watch, at least while I'm pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They haven't done it. And I can't say that as a credit to me. I say it as a credit to God and a credit to you and your faithfulness in just committing to this thing and doing it. Because, you know, I think it's a wrong thing to tell somebody, you know what, you can count on us. Head on over there, leave your family, leave your friends, head on over there, you can count on us. And then about the time they get over there, you know, it's not unusual for a missionary in the 4 years that they're over there to lose anywhere between 7% and 10% of their support in 4 years. Now, I understand some things are going to happen, but good night. What in the world? You know, that they're dependent on that. Yeah, I think it's sad that so many of them have to break away and come back and then spend the little bit of a break they have. Instead of with their family and recuperating and spending some time in their home church, what do they got to do? Jump in a car and zigzag across on deputation again to try to replace. That's wrong. That's wrong. And so thank you. Thank you for taking this thing serious and making it sure that we're able to continue with that. Listen, folks, I want to remind you something, okay? God promises to provide the needs of those who give to missions. God gives to givers. God gives to givers. God gives to givers. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Not just what you gave, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again. And we have these promises, and we have these assurances. I'm just glad to be able to stand up here and report something. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And God is a generous God, and God is a loving God, and God takes note of these things, and he's going to take care. I know I've said this a lot, but my dad through the years told us, even when I was a young man growing up, and he'd say, Jerry, there's two kind of people in the world. There's the givers, and there's the takers. He said, don't you grow up and be a taker. You grow up and be a giver. I mean, to the point where it was hard for me to accept anything. I mean, that was so grounded in me. And sometimes, you know, there is a time when you have to learn to be just gracious in receiving. That's hard for us that are wired to give and give and sacrifice and give. And sometimes, you know, you need to be gracious in just receiving something. Let somebody be a blessing back to you sometimes. But honestly, I will tell you, I mean this from the depths of my heart. I do not enjoy those moments one-tenth as much as I enjoy giving. I'd rather give than get. And I mean it. It's wired in me. We look for it. We look for opportunities. We take opportunities. We don't just talk about it. We do it. I just don't preach it. I live it. And folks, let me tell you something. It's the best life in all the world. God promises to provide the needs of those who give to missions. Number two, these promises are not age-restricted. So teach your children and young people to give to missions. And I teach this and say this from time to time, but I think this ought to be something. If you want the blessing of God on your children, on your teenagers, you want God's blessing on them, then you know what? From a very young age, teach them about missions giving. From a very young age, you know, what, maybe way back when they're toddlers, but they get a little money and for birthday or for something else that comes along their way. First of all, teach them to tithe. Teach them to tithe. Because you know what? The tithe keeps the curse of God off of you. The offerings, I think, brings the blessing of God upon you. But, man, teach them. Train them to do that. Train them to do that. You know, we did something. And if you think different about this, that's fine. You know, that's okay. Do what the way the Lord leads you to do. But, you know, when the girls were young, and I mean once they got up to 5, 6, 7 years old, we begin to give them some kind of a weekly allowance. And you say, well, yeah, but they ought to earn it. Well, folks, they had weekly chores, okay? And trust me, if they didn't get their weekly chores done, they didn't get their weekly allowance. But one of the reasons we gave them an allowance was to teach them to manage money, to teach them how to manage money. Now, how long did you give them until they were able to get up to an age where they could work a job? And guess what? The allowance has stopped then. But I wanted in their formative years for them to understand the value of bringing their tithes, of letting the Lord work on their heart in giving to missions or giving to something next year. I can remember different times where missions emphasis month or an evangelist would come through or some need would be presented to the church and have one or more of our girls come to me and say, Dad, you know, I've been saving this back and I've been feeling like the Holy Spirit wants me to give a portion of this to this. What do you think about that? I mean, you talk about delight of dad. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I'd say, you know, if God's telling you to do it, do it. I mean, do that your whole life because it'll receive the blessing of God upon your life. Teenagers, start getting jobs, and God bless you. I want you to work. And I told the story a while back of a youth pastor from the East Coast that called me and heard we took missions trips. And his pastor said, well, I know Brother Ross takes his teens on missions trips, so why don't you call him and find out what fundraisers that they put on so that the kids will have the money to go to missions trips. And so the poor guy called me. I think he'll never forget that day and the rest of his life. And I'm so bad sometimes. I really am so bad. But I'm listening to him talk about, well, I didn't know what kind of fundraisers that you did so that the kids would have the money to be able to go. I don't know. I just can't bring myself to do the fundraisers. I can't. I just can't. Yeah, amen. I know in so many ways. I sometimes look at the budget and think, you know what, man, this, I know, but I just can't do it. I don't know what it teaches a kid, you know, to take a candy bar that's worth about 50 cents and out there on the street selling it for $2. I'm not even sure what that teaches a kid, but I don't know. Anyway, get off on this again, but... I told that youth pastor, I said, well, let me tell you how we raise the money, how we get the kids to raise money. Okay. I said, well, you got a notebook? Yeah. I said, okay. I said, we have a meeting about a year before we do it. Okay. And I said, we break it down. You know, if it's going to cost $600, we break it down to 600 divided by 12. And, you know, that's $50 a month. And we tell them that what you need to do is work and earn $50 a month. And save it and don't blow it. And if you do that, you can come on the missions trip. If you don't, you don't deserve to come on the missions trip. That's the plan. And then I told him this. I shouldn't have said this. And he said, well, what about the ones that can or won't do it? I said, well, then I usually say something like this. If you can't earn $600 in a year's time, you need to climb on the roof of the church right now and just jump off head first to save the whole world from having to pay for you living on welfare the rest of your life. All right, any questions? Okay, we're dismissed. God bless you, you know. You know, think about that. Able-bodied young men, and you can't get out and hustle and work. Able-bodied young ladies, they can't get out and hustle and work and make $50 in a month's time. Well, somebody needs to teach them either a work ethic or how to think a little bit, because there's opportunities around you. If you open your eyeballs, if you'd open your eyes from the time you leave the parking lot till you get to your house and look, instead of looking at all the stuff you want to buy or what stores open you wish you could spend money in, if you look, you could find enough jobs between there and home to make $50. You know, if you had some get up and go, hey, me and my wife and our three daughters when they were all teenagers was spent days in the yards of people in Jasonville with rakes. Now, y'all too good for that? Sweat of the brow stuff. We went there with them because they were three teenage daughters and I wanted to keep an eye on the situation. But you know what? I pretty much supervised and leaned against my rake and encouraged them. I like to quote verses on working and not eating and all that. But no, I got in there with them. And we, you know what we did? That's how we earned a lot of our trip money. And you know what? You tell me the season of the year and there's a way to make money. Okay? But you got to have some get up and go. Now, so I don't know how I got off on that, but that was fun anyway. But the promises on this matter of God's blessing is not age restrictive. And so if you look at those little children, those precious gifts God gives you, and say, how in the world, what can I do to begin to make sure that I set them up at a very young age to be guaranteed the blessings of God? Then you certainly got to look at this matter of giving and involve them in that. So number one, under missions giving is well pleasing to God. God promises to provide the needs of those who give to missions. Number two, the promises are not age restricted. Teach your children, young people, they should give to missions. Number three, God expands the heart for a lost and dying world as we give by faith to missions. Because Matthew 6:21 is true. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so the more that you give to missions, invest in missions, not just in the money that you give folks, but in the time you give. I mean, you know, the three T's, we taught it in our Sunday school hour here a while back, you know, time, talent, and treasure. And those are the things that we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and ask for. We were all given, the same amount of time in every day and same amount of time in every year. Maybe not the length of days are not all the same, but God's going to require that of us. What did you do with the life that I gave you, with your time? And then he's going to talk about this matter of talents, and everybody's talents are different, abilities and skills are different. And if God's given you an ability to do something, you may even make a living doing it. But you know what? Always offer that to the Lord. Always offer that to the Lord. And then this idea of treasures and giving for that. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And, you know, as you've been a life of this, you know, your heart begins to expand and expand and expand. And, you know, God directed me to Acts 1:8. We teach this every year during our Missions Emphasis Month. But God said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And folks, when you are given the missions, then your heart pretty soon is in that. And it's not just in a foreign country reading a letter. It's in your Jerusalem. It's in your Judea. It's in your Samaria. I mean, all of a sudden you begin to, you have a burden for your Jerusalem. You can't just drive through these communities and not see the lost souls. You can't do it. You can't do it. And, you know, we drove down, as I mentioned, to Jasper today and took a couple of our men with us. Said, guys, I just want to go down there and look around, and poke around, and I don't even know what I'm looking for yet. Just going to look for any vacant buildings or land for sale or who knows. We'll look at everything, anything at this point. But mostly, you know what I want to do? Just go down and pray. And just park and pray. Just ask God, Lord, I don't, you know, it's so exciting right now. I say, preacher, it's so exciting right now. You say, what's the plan? I don't know. I don't even know if I have one. I mean, you know, it's follow God. That's the plan. Follow God. Pray and follow God. I mean, we've done it a couple of times, so there's a series of things that we're kind of starting to look for, and we're moving. But you know what? If you just head off in the general direction of what God wants you to do, he can fine-tune the movements of where you're supposed to be. And I told him, I said, let me tell him what I told the guys. You know, this whole Hayesville idea is my idea, you know. And I said, I think it'd be a good location for church, somewhere near there, in there, close to there, because of being able to reach the three different communities. But I said, you know, I thought that going down to Princeton, we might locate between Vincennes and Princeton. I said, man, and we're going to start looking here, but, you know, God can shut all these doors and direct us to where we need to go. And, hey, this is fun. This is fun. Just follow the Lord. Just follow his leading. Just, you know, God, you know. You already know where this church is supposed to be. You know the people that whose hearts you're going to touch to gather to this ministry. You know where the finances are going to come from. I mean, you know, it is so awesome to just march forward in full faith that God is going to do this. This is God's will. This is God's leading. God has a plan. All I've got to do is get out there and let him show me what it is. And, man, that's a good way. That's a good way to live. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Judea. I'm talking about, you know, they were asking me on we turned and went towards French Lick, and there was a sign that said so many miles to Paoli. And I said, you know, about a year ago, I went down to Paoli. I was actually didn't go down there just to go down there. I was cutting across to head somewhere else, but I stopped for about 2 hours in Paoli. Say why? Because when I drove through Paoli, I'm just looking around. Next thing I know, I'm going around the square and I'm looking around. And I end up spending 2 hours there. And I'm looking around and Googling independent Baptist churches and who in the world's here and what's here. Is there anything here? And, you know, before I leave, I'm praying. God, it may not be us. But if someone's not reaching this community, send somebody. Hey, preacher, how do you get there? You start as a little kid with your mom and dad saying, this is a missions envelope. You just give. Don't be a taker. Be a giver. Okay? Be concerned about souls in your Jerusalem, and then God will grow it to your Judea, and then he'll grow it to your Samaria, and then he'll grow it to the world. And there's nothing better than that. God expands the heart for a lost and dying world as we give by faith to missions. And so as the Holy Spirit directs you, as the Holy Spirit leads you, preacher, what should I give? How much should I give? And all of this. That is something God has to tell you. He is the one that you need to go to when you come to direction. I can stand here and give you biblical principles on tithing, and I can give you the general umbrella principle of offerings, but each and every one of us need to go to God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll do what God tells you to do, and I do what God tells me to do, there will always be enough. And God, isn't it wonderful to be personally directed by God in this matter of giving what God would have you to do? Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask it. I believe that God has always been very specific in my life in dealing with my different areas of giving. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he's usually not shy about telling you. If you really mean it, and if he knows you'll obey it, He's not shy about laying a number on your heart and telling you what you ought to do about this project, or what should you do this year in missions, or what should you do in your general offering above the tithe, or what should you give to your preacher. We're doing another church plant. Yeah, we're doing another church plant. Is that going to cost money? Yeah, I walked in the office after coming back from that trip. My wife was in there. And I said, one of the first things I said, I came back, went to the office, came back in. I said, I just figured out how we can save a lot of money. She said, how? I said, don't plant this church. That's how we can save a lot of money. And then I smiled and said, but you know what? God's got it. God's got this. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this journey of faith, the life that you've given us. Help us to understand, Lord, the principles of stewardship. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, when we get that, understand that everything belongs to you. Well, the tithe belongs to the Lord. No, everything belongs to you. Lord, help us to manage your affairs correctly. Thank you for the generosity and graciousness that you show towards your faithful stewards. And Lord, thank you for taking good care of us along the way. But Lord, thank you for the opportunity just to be involved, to live our lives in such a way that we can be trusted, that you know that if you provide for us, or that you can also provide through us, and that we will listen to your direction. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to get in the middle of that, in between God providing a need for someone else, and then the promises and blessings that you bestow upon us. Lord, you didn't have to do that, but you do. And so, Lord, thank you. Help us to live our lives this way. The Church of Philippi had a reputation. Generosity. Givers. Not takers, givers. Lord, I believe this. I believe Blessed Hope Baptist Church has that testimony. I think we have that reputation. Lord, help us to live up to it. Help us not to diminish. And Lord, I pray that you just guide and direct each and every one. Pray for our missionaries. Lord, I spent some time in Missionary Hall this afternoon. And just about every letter, read them, every letter. Lord, they're all facing the same thing we are, worse. Some of the countries, what they're facing. Brother Lima's letter I just received today, that now in Zacatecas, Mexico, there are certain days of the week that if they are out, if there is a car on the road, it's stopped and they're arrested. And Lord, as much as we're mumbling and grumbling compared to a lot of the world, we're living free, and so we do want to protect that, Lord, but be with our missionaries facing all kinds of difficult circumstances through this, and just bless them, help them to know that we love them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's